There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
You're in Little Steven's Underground Garage with the Mighty Manfred, and it's time for another Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. My guest today is Chris Rogers, keyboard player, lead singer, and frontman for Portland, Maine's Chris Rogers and the Dirty Gems. They've got a brand new single out on Wicked Cool Records called She Likes the Party, which is a recent coolest song in the world. So let's hear some of that first, and then I'll be joined by Chris Rogers for your Coolest Conversations podcast presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
To turn out the light. Damn, that beat couldn't groove any stronger. Step in and let begin. I'm gonna let you know when your shell's gonna let it flow inside you.
Here with you in Little Steven's Underground Garage, and my guest for today's Coolest Conversations is Chris Rogers of Chris Rogers and the Dirty Gems. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Manfred. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, good to speak with you again. So, pretty crazy times in the world. One might argue it's been crazy times for a long time, but especially 2020, crazy year. Are you and your family and friends all healthy?
So far, yes. Yep. Everybody in the band is doing well. Everybody in my family, anyway, is doing well. Just trying to stay with it and, you know, keep positive and all that kind of stuff, do all the stuff we're supposed to be doing.
Well, I think you and the band had scheduled some dates in March out on the road, and obviously those had to be canceled. As I remember when we've spoken before, that you supported yourself locally as a full-time musician and that you relied primarily on playing out live to make ends meet. So what have you been doing to get by these past few months?
Yeah, the crazy thing is that it's the longest I've gone, in at least in recent memory, without playing any gigs. It's been like 3 months. I'm back to playing at a couple places again up here, just that are outside and are safe to play at. But for the most part, still not really playing, and just really just got back to writing and trying to just, you know, I keep saying stay positive because that's what we're really doing, just trying to keep the train moving because we do have a record that we're waiting on to finish too.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the quarantine and everything like that with the studio shutting down, we haven't yet to finish it. Say like 90% of it is done, and She Likes the Party on the record. So we're trying to schedule that and doing some videos here and there as well, some live streams and stuff. But yeah, just trying to keep busy writing, to be honest.
You know, in the UK, they are giving about $2 billion. I think it's 1.57 billion pounds to artists to help people get through this pandemic. Do you think something like that would ever happen in the US?
I think it's wishful thinking, but I don't know if it'll ever happen here. I would love if it did. I think it should happen here, but yeah, I doubt. But I still think that the U.S. really values the arts the way that some of the European countries do.
You mentioned writing, trying to work on new material. So you have 1 or 2 albums worth of new material so far under your belt.
Mm. Yeah, we've got one record that is, you know, we've got most of it recorded. It's just like a couple little you know, cherries on top of that we need to finish it. And then we just kind of kept going. And we had had maybe 3 or 4 songs for the next record too, but I've just been sort of doing demos and stuff through the quarantine and, you know, as inspiration strikes and stuff like that.
Well, I was snooping around on your Facebook page, and I think you mentioned this, you'd done some outside things. See that there was a gig listed there towards the end of last month at the Portland Lobster Company. Now, that was like playing outside in a parking lot, or what was that exactly?
Yeah, well, that's actually the only, I think there might be another place doing some shows up here. But yeah, Portland Lobster Company is basically like a lobster shack. And it's on a huge wharf in Portland, so it's the entire place is just outside. And they have their stage is all blocked off and barricaded off for the bands, so you don't ever have to come in contact with anybody. And, yeah, you just hang out outside all day or all night, whatever it is, and play music and, you know, do the thing. But the Dirty Gems are actually playing there again on the 15th of July, which is a Wednesday, kind of a bummy night for rock and roll, but it should be fun. It's the only place that we've actually been able to keep anything booked from, you know, March on till now.
So have you done any streaming of shows? I can't recall if you just mentioned that or not.
Yeah, I've done just a few. I haven't done like a weekly thing or anything like that, but I've done a couple different I guess you could call it like an open mic sort of thing. That is a show that was going on in Boston that I used to do once in a while. It's called the Mess Around.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did like sort of a thing like that where it was just me playing a couple songs and then the other artists that I'm friends with playing a couple other songs as well. We just kind of passed the hat around. That was pretty much it as far as like the streaming stuff goes, just a couple of those things.
Well, so the new single, which is our coolest song in the world this week, She Likes to Party, out now on Wicked Cool Records. You mentioned playing the 15th. Are there any planned streaming gigs line up to promote the new release?
Yeah, we're going to do, we can't unfortunately do it with our entire band because we live so far away from each other. Our drummer lives in Connecticut and the rest of us live up in Maine. But we'll be doing a live stream. It might be actually the day before the 15th on the 14th, just the day before the show, where we'll play She Likes to Party and the B-side and maybe even a couple other songs that people haven't heard in a while, so that'd be fun.
Well, let's talk some about this coolest song in the world this week, the new single She Likes to Party. This is the second single you've done on Little Steven's Wicked Cool Records label?
That's correct, yep.
So the first is Every Little Crack. And you talked about having gotten an album's worth of stuff in the can, right?
Yeah, yeah. We've got, you know, I think it's like 10 or 11 songs that are almost done now. And this record, too, is a little different, at least for me, because the records prior to this, I had always written, you know, like 90% of the songs beforehand. Right. And then we would go in and the band would obviously put their own sort of spin on it and touches on it. But this record, we actually wrote it more as a band together. So it's got a lot of different flavors on it than last records would have, with different influences and stuff like that. And I'm actually really excited about it, and it kind of put a new breath of life into the band, to be honest.
Well, very cool. And I was going to ask you about that, too, because my notes mention you as a songwriter to She Likes to Party, as well as Tom Hall and Ryan Halliburton. And that's the guitar player and the bass player, respectively, right?
Yeah. And yeah, Ryan actually wrote, I would say, like the meat of the song on his bass. And I got a demo that had a lot of different bass parts on it, which I'm sure you can attest to this, doesn't happen very often. That everything is just bass, you know, there's like a melody and just different parts and stuff. And yeah, and then I took it and wrote some lyrics over it. And our guitar player also wrote another section of the song too. And yeah, it was just three of us in the basement for the winter, this winter, just coming up with songs left and right, and this just happened to be one of them.
Very cool. And so did you produce this track when you recorded it?
Well, yeah, I guess you could say that probably as a band we produced it. We went to a separate studio to do some drums and vocals, and then Jeff Sanoff mixed everything for us, and Pat Keene mastered it.
Right, so I saw that too, that Jeff had mixed. Now, how did you do that? Did you send him the tracks in New York and he would send you mixes back?
Yeah. Yep. And yeah, it's like basically it's the equivalent of like taking all your tracks and putting them on a CD and sending them to Jeff, and then he throws them in his computer and mixes them all. Of course, we did it via, like, Dropbox.
Yeah.
Sending him all the files and stuff. But it's kind of a cool situation. It's, you know, it's like Christmas. You send your stuff to somebody, and you get it back, and it's all, you know, it's cleaned up, and it's shiny, and it sounds great, and way better than you've heard it yet, you know?
So that's the first time you've mixed that way, is that correct?
Actually, no. I mixed every little crack, the last single that we had, myself. But before that, I'd actually done everything that way, where we record it up here by ourselves and then send it off to somebody who knew better to mix it. But we've just got over the years, we've gotten a little bit better and better every time to get more and more of it done ourselves before we have to send it off. But Jeff just did. I mean, you know, nobody out there gets to hear what the mix was before Jeff got it. Mm-hmm. But I know what the mix was before Jeff got it. and he just made, you know, he made it sound incredible.
Do you think that if you had your druthers, how would you like to have mix a record? Is that like a good thing to actually send it off and have it come back? Does that provide some kind of space, or would it be better to be hands-on at the time?
I mean, I think it certainly can provide space, especially if you're doing it a lot of it yourself and your ears are a bit fatigued, you know. I tend to think that sometimes I get too close to songs, and or not the songs themselves, but the recording of the song, and how I think it sounds in my head. I usually have to give myself like an entire day of listening to the mix from an actual mix engineer just to get my own mix out of my head.
Right.
But the plan originally for us was to go down and actually record with Jeff.
Yeah.
And we would have been there with him doing stuff. But I had met Jeff before in New York once, but I had never worked with him. So, like I said, I had mixed the last thing that we did. And I like to mix a lot, but like I said, I sort of feel like I get too close to stuff. And even now when I hear every little crack, I think, gosh, maybe I should have done that, maybe I should have done that. Mm-hmm. And I do like not having to think about that sort of stuff when I hear somebody else mix it, because they've got a fresh set of ears that are having an objective point of view.
Right.
And they'll change stuff if I'm like, you know, if we're thinking now, maybe this could be louder or this panned over here or whatever. But it's, you know, we got lucky with Jeff. You know, his mix was, you know, like 98% there the first time he sent it to me. So
right. It
was just like a couple minor little things. But we've had pretty good experiences, but I've, you know, had other experiences too with other bands I play in, or even stuff that I mix for other people and I get notes back, or I'll give notes back, and they're quite a bit different than what the mix initially sounds like. That's a rough conversation sometimes to have.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we've mentioned Tom and Ryan, Dirty Gems. Let's give, got to give the drummer some. So your drummer is Craig Sala. Is that how you say his last name?
Yep, that's it.
I looked up the, what I have is liner notes for Every Little Crack, and those three guys are also on that. How long have they been Dirty Gems now?
Craig has, I've known Craig for, and Tom, to be honest, too, for a really long time. And Craig and I used to play in the Kurt Baker Band together like 10 years ago when that band was first starting. And then Craig also played in The Connection. I played in The Connection with Craig. We have this joke that we've been in like 9 bands together. I don't know what the number is really, but we played lots of records together and stuff. And he was on the very first Dirty Gems record, but Craig has been on every record since then. Yeah, it's crazy just being like, Craig is on the new Kurt Baker record too, and I'm playing on it as well. It's just weird, like him and I somehow are always kind of like going around different places, different bands together. And then Tom I met playing gigs just really a long time ago. I just want to say it's like over 10 years ago now, but he's like a sort of like a Portland sort of guitar legend guy. We're really lucky to have him in the band, and he just brings like a totally different flair to a lot of the stuff that we do as far as the music goes. Yeah.
And how did you come to find Ryan?
Ryan is, he's a, like a 24/7 gigging musician like I am up here. And I would see him kind of playing, he plays bass in some bands, but he plays guitar and sings a lot of the time too. And I would see him, just around and watching him. We needed a bass player for a long time, like years. We had Brad Marino playing bass from The Connection, helping us out. Kurt Baker helped us out for a little while. And so when I thought we had just kind of passed Ryan here and there at, you know, loading in or out of gigs after each other and stuff. And after a while, I was just like, you got to ask this guy to be in the band. He's pretty good. He's got what we're looking for. Well, and that was like 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Wow. All right. Well, great team you got in these guys, the Dirty Gems. They're all jewels, let's say.
Yeah, I agree.
So, like your last single, Every Little Crack, Spencer Alexander, who's also the bass player in New York City's Wildlife, did the artwork. Did the artwork for She Likes to Party. Do you think he captures your likeness very well on the cover?
Yeah, I think he did, yeah. Spencer blows me away every time he sends me anything, really. It's pretty much like a hand-drawn thing for him, with him, and just get a sketch of what it's going to look like, a black and white sketch and everything. I always keep that and like frame it.
Oh, cool.
Because the final project always looks completely shiny and super ready to go. And the sketch is like at its, you know, rawest form. It's right. Pretty cool to see the two come together, yeah.
Right, it's the rough mix.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Which, except for with art, I actually like the rough mix, I guess. More sometimes.
Yeah. Hey, growing up as a kid, did you ever have your caricature done of yourself, like on a boardwalk or at an amusement park?
I did. Yeah, I think I did one time. I actually have a caricature of our entire band because we played at like a festival, like a community festival one time, and they had a guy there. So we have like a band caricature done.
Man, I want to see that. You got to put that up on Facebook or make that an album.
I'll post it today when we get or later today. I'll send a post on it.
So I love the colored vinyl on the new with a new single, which of course is a way to say too, hey people, it's not just a digital thing, but it's actually something tactile you can hold in your hand. Can you describe the colored vinyl to people out there in satellite radio listening land?
Yeah, to me it looks they call it splatter, like you're just splattering colors on the vinyl. But to me it looks like piano keys almost going around the record because it's black and white splatter.
Yeah, man, I was thinking the same thing. I think that looks really cool.
Yeah, I think that the piano key thing was just like an accident, the way it looked. But, initially we just, Lewis mentioned the splatter and we all thought that'd be great. And then it came back and, you know, our last record is called Losing the Frequency and it has like a radio tower with
right.
a piano kind of keys as the radio waves. And to me, it looks very similar to that. So it's a great little play on the theme from the last record, too.
Yeah, now you mentioned Lewis, so tell people who is Lewis.
Lewis is, as far as I know, he's like the head graphic design guy for Wicked Cool. That's kind of how I envision him anyway.
Yeah.
He kind of like he does like an overview sort of position on the project, but he'll just kind of, he throws in these like just gem ideas every once in a while that always end up making it to the final product, you know, but they're just little, it's like putting salt and pepper on a dish, you know, he just throws in a little salt every once in a while and it really spices it up.
That's right. Makes it even more tasty.
Yeah.
So we need to give that B-side a listen, your version of the Lido Shuffle, Boz Gag song. Why did you decide to cover it?
Well, you know, like we've talked about before, played in lots of gig bands and cover bands and stuff like that. And if you play covers of any kind, you're going to have some that are big hit songs that you can't really stomach ever playing unless you're getting paid to do it, you know? and Lido is not one of those. So we like to play Lido. We play Lido and people like it. And we do a little, we have like an ending that we jam on for Lido. That's also on the recorded version of it. So we thought, you know, people like the song, we like the song, let's just do it, see what happens.
Are you a Fats Domino fan at all?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I don't know if you know this, tell me if you do, I was reading online about Boz Gag's coming up with Lido Shuffle. Well, I was quoting him saying that he, you know, he's a big Fats Domino fan and he wanted to do some kind of shuffle thing and he was actually playing Fats Domino's The Fat Man, messing around with that, and he used that as a template. We changed things around, obviously, to come up with the Lido Shuffle.
Wow, I did not know that. That's amazing.
Do you cover any Fats Domino tunes? Have you ever played any?
I don't. I might have, like, years ago when I was first starting to do piano bars to have some stuff under my belt, but I don't. It's been a long, long time if I ever did play a Fats Domino song.
You know, I'm thinking of a cover song that, doing, if you're doing a piano bar thing, that you would hate, never want to record. But I've got to ask you, do you play the Piano Man, the Billy Joel thing?
Yeah, like multiple times at night.
Oh God.
Yeah, it's like it's the free bird of piano.
I can imagine. I can imagine. Well, you've had a break from that for a few months, so when we're on the other side of this and you play it, you know, maybe then it won't be so bad. Maybe it'll be like, you know, this is back to normal. Now I know I'm normal, even though I don't like playing this, you know.
Right, yeah, exactly. It's not too bad. I mean, I've played it enough times now that I've changed some of the words around to be a little funny and stuff like that.
So how about, let me ask you then, before we go, I know you've played, you know, done a lot of stuff with Curt Baker over the years, and you mentioned playing in The Connection. Do you ever work as a studio musician?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's not, I do it more from friends and stuff like that than actually going into a studio itself. But like I just played on this guy, Nick Hughes is his name, but he was in a band called The Role Models, and he plays with Duncan Reed in England. And I met him on tour over there, and so I played a little bit on his record. And usually it's that kind of thing where it's just somebody I've met somehow over the years. I do a lot of work like with some bands out in Wisconsin, Illinois area too, and a little bit I played on Soraya's last record, but I'm just really here at my little home studio doing it. Well, every once in a while I'll get a call to go somewhere cool, but unless you have a piano part, like that's a real part, a lot of the time with rock and roll, at least from my experience doing sessions, it's a lot of like organ pads or like Jerry Lee Lewis piano sort of stuff going on, and that for me that's like what I do all the time. So I really like that stuff, and it's not too tricky really. And like I said, unless it's like, if you got like a boogie woogie piano part, that's a real part, it might take a little while to figure it out. But
hammering those eighth notes is like every eighth note, yeah, is like $2. $2, $2.
$2. Yeah, octave eight notes up top.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah.
Somebody says, man, that's a great sound. And then you could say, yeah, that's a cash register bell ringing right there.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to go out with your fun cover, your version of Lido Shuffle. But first, I have to say, Chris, thank you so much for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Thanks for having me. It's always a blast.
Now it's B-side time, Chris Rogers and the Dirty Gems with a Lido Shuffle and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
You don't miss the boat that day he left the shack, but that was all he missed, and he ain't coming back. At a two-stone bar in a two-joint car, he made a stop, but just long enough to cry.
With the Lido Shuffle, that's Chris Rogers and the Dirty Gems here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. It's a cover of the Boz Scaggs 1977 hit, and Rogers and company use it as the B-side to their latest single, She Likes to Party, out on Wicked Cool Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Chris for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our segment. And join me next week when my guest will be noted music producer Dave Draper, who works closely with Ryan Hamilton of Ryan Hamilton and the Harlequin Ghosts. That's your next week's Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.